You're listening to WBH Radio. I am your host, William Holly. Thanks for joining me on episode 25. Yo, it was a long road to get here this week, man. So many obstacles. I mean, I couldn't find a mic, a studio, a camera. But we here. Like my man Puff said, can't stop, won't stop. Now, this might be my favorite time of year. Right after Labor Day, the kids are back in school, everybody's off from vacation. You know, the mindset in New York is kind of like, yo, I'm going to bust my ass until the holiday season. Let's get it. Right? So I look forward to having a productive fall. I wish the same for everybody else. The fall season also means football's back in town. Football season's getting ready to kick off Thursday night. The Philadelphia Eagles are opening the season on their home field, man, defending champs. So we'll see how that goes. And then Sunday, of course, we have a full slate of games. Now, I wanted to kind of wrap up the offseason. Couple folks got paid last week. Our own New Yorker, Odell Beckham Jr., signed for $95 million, 5 years. Good Lord, that's a lot of money. But there's no real surprise there. My man LaRon Blake was on recently, and he said, well, the person who goes to free agency most recently is the one that cashes out. So even if you believe Julio Jones is better or A.J. Green is better, Odell Beckham Jr. is just his time. Congratulations to him. Of course, I just hope he performs. Because if you don't, LeBron James and Drake, them dudes, they stop answering the phone. If you ain't getting it done, they don't want to be in pictures with you. Shoot, ask Johnny Manziel. He was flying high. Everybody's Instagram, Snapchat. Nowhere to be found. In fact, they shipped his ass to Canada. So, Odell, man, keep doing your thing. I don't have a problem saying Aaron Rodgers is the greatest quarterback I've ever seen. I don't think that's hyperbole. The boy got every tool in the shed. You want to talk about the deep throw, accuracy, throwing across the middle, the ability to throw across his body, to throw on the run. Yeah, the boy's a scrambler, man. He'll never get that credit because he's a white boy, but he can scramble. But even with that being said, with him being the greatest I've ever seen, I don't think this contract he just signed reflects that. He signed for $134 million over 4 years. Richest contract in NFL history. Now, I'm no expert on these contracts. There's all type of stipulations in this. But what it's been explained to me is you want to really look at the true value of an NFL contract, look at the guaranteed money. So Aaron Rodgers, for 4 years, he got $98.7 million guaranteed. Kirk Cousins just got $84 million guaranteed for 3 years. It's not like he's going to make nothing in that fourth year. So I don't get it. That doesn't reflect the greatest we've ever seen. 4 years at $98 million. Kirk Cousins, who's a middle-of-the-pack quarterback, he gets 84 for three? So all Kirk Cousins got to do is make $14 million in that fourth year. He matches Aaron Rodgers? I don't get it, man. And Aaron Rodgers, he's a little bit older, right? So he's already under contract for the next 2 years. This new deal he signed starts after these upcoming 2 years. So basically he's under contract for the next six, which takes him to the age 41. Now, if I'm the best ever at my position, I need some flexibility, man. Yo, get off me, man. Give me some room to maneuver. Similar to how LeBron James would sign those short-term deals Aaron Rodgers, you locked up until you're 41. Now, I would like to be a free agent around 35, 36, 37 so I could get one more payday. At 41, you're not likely to make a big check then, right? So I think this long-term deal stifles your earning potential. You want to be a free agent again in the prime. Now, again, this is just my interpretation. I'm not, these contracts are hard to really make their way through. It's always been explained to me, look at the guarantee and look at the years. So when I see the greatest I've ever seen, he's the greatest quarterback I've ever seen, right? Not only is he the greatest, but he's the greatest at the most valuable position in sports, the quarterback. That's more valuable than anything. Maybe a starting pitcher in game 7, but the quarterback, they make and break franchises. I just want to say this. This contract didn't reflect that, man. I thought we was about to see something astronomical. That's just my thoughts, man. We also saw some defensive players get paid. In fact, we saw the richest defensive contract ever, only to be toppled the very next day. Aaron Donald of the Los Angeles Rams signed for 6 years, $135 million, 87 guaranteed. And the next day, the Raiders traded Khalil Mack to the Chicago Bears, and he signed for 6 years, but at $141 million with 90 guaranteed. Now, there's been a lot of conversation like, yo, what are the Raiders doing? They got rid of one of the most fiercest defensive players in the league. This guy, John Gruden, is off his rocker, man. He's been away from the game too much. He's out of touch. Yo, I don't know if I mentioned, but I'm back on Brooklyn College. Back home. Back home where I belong. Shout out to Brooklyn College. Shout out to students at my WBCR. And on the campus, there are quotes posted around, you know, motivational quotes for the kids. And one of the quotes I remember seeing a great deal is by a man named Robert Kiyosaki. He's the author of Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And really talks about business and certain things. And the quote says, if you want to go somewhere, it is best to find someone who has already been there. My interpretation is to get you a role model, a mentor. Get you somebody to show you the way, somebody that's showing you the blueprint. So if I'm in the business of winning football games, if I'm in the business of getting to championships and winning Super Bowls as it pertains to the NFL, right? Who is laying out the blueprint? Who is leading the way? Whose mold should we follow? That's the New England Patriots. Now, let me ask you, when's the last time the New England Patriots had the highest paid defensive player in the league? When's the last time we seen them hand out the big defensive contract? I can't remember. In fact, they got a history of letting dudes walk before it was time to give them that big-ass payday. Richard Seymour, yo, bro, we love you, but you're going to have to go get your money from Oakland. Willie McGinnis, the same thing. Most recently, Chandler Jones, hey, buddy, you could go to Arizona. Jamie Collins shipped him to the Browns. They don't give out those monster contracts. Because they understand, hey, man, this is a salary cap league. If we only got 8 slices to this pie, I can't give 6 slices to my defensive player and then try to feed the rest of the team with 2 slices. We going to starve. You see, defensive players are like, they're like 22-inch rims on the whip. They cool. They look nice. They shiny. The chicks dig them. But it's not essential to this car moving. I got some other priorities. I need to make sure my engine, my transmission's intact. Make sure I got windows and rearview mirrors so I can see where I'm going. So I don't blame the Raiders for this move. People want to say Gruden's out of touch. In fact, this shows me that he's tuned in. Let me ask you, when's the last time the highest paid defensive player in the league won a Super Bowl? I was looking. I couldn't find the answer. In 2017 and 2016, the highest paid player was Von Miller. Did he win those years? Nope. In 2015, it was Ndamukong Suh. Did he win? Nope. 2014, J.J. Watt. No. In fact, the five highest defensive players of all time are Julius Peppers, Ndamukong Suh, Darrell Revis, Mario Williams, Champ Bailey. Those five players made a combined $630 million in a career. Altogether, one chip. One chip. See, the name of the game is to have value at each position. I want a whole bunch of guys that are playing above their pay grade. I want to pay them at a C level and then be playing at a B and an A. Khalil Mack might be an A talent and worth every penny. But in a sport where the attrition rate is very rapid, I can't afford to pay him that money. And any bit of decline or drop off, hey, we losing value now. He's like a Ferrari. The minute you drive it off the lot, it starts to depreciate. Nah, I need a whole bunch of Toyota Camrys and Honda Accords, and we're going to be successful. So I don't condemn the Raiders. Yo, salute to Khalil Mack. I'm glad you got your bread, bro. That money will change your family's life, change the life of people in your community. Congratulations. But it's just like I was watching Martin the other day. You ain't got to go home, but you got to get the hell up out of here. Yo, bro, go get your money. It just can't be from here. People are using this move to condemn John Gruden. No, in fact, I'm encouraged by this move. Oh, okay. Maybe he's tuned in. You know, I just sit back and marvel at the experts. Yo, what are the Raiders doing? Have we not just seen Bill Belichick's latest blueprint for years? The New England Patriots had Darrell Revis 1 year. They signed him for $12 million 1 year. Boom, mercenary. They won the Super Bowl. The very next year, the Jets signed him for $39 million. The Patriots said, no, thanks. Who's been back to the Super Bowl since then? The Patriots. They're laying the blueprint, man. It's a salary cap league. It's about having value. There's more priorities, right, before we get to the defensive edge, the defensive player. He might have the Twitter followers and the stature, but we got to take care of that quarterback. And you see them fat guys that's blocking them, we need to pay them. John Gruden is following the blueprint. So I don't condemn either party. Khalil, you got to get your Mac the Raiders, you got to do your thing. Right? And John Gruden, people keep talking about, yo, he might be out of touch, man. He's been away from the game for 10 years. Let me tell you a story. I have done some limo work for CBS. Right? So on a Sunday, I'll go to the hotel and I'll pick up their broadcast team. It might be Hall of Famer Dan Fouts. It might be sideline reporter Evan Washburn, play-by-play guy Ian Eagle. I pick them up, and I take them to the stadium so they could call a game, right? Take them right over there to what is it, Giant Stadium, whatever it's called. They call a game. Boom, bam, game day. But the Saturday before the game, I pick them up as well. I pick them up, and I take them to the Giants facility. And they sit there and they meet. It's called pre-production. They sit there and they meet with the head coach, the quarterback, and whoever else they want to invite to the meeting. They sit there and they pick their brain about, yo, why'd you call this play last week? They talk about the roster. Why'd you cut this guy? Why'd you sign this guy? What can we expect from tomorrow's game? They sit there and do that for hours. And when they're done with the Giants, who are the home team, guess what? I take them over to the visiting team's hotel. And they do the same thing. They sit with the head coach. They sit with the quarterback. They sit with whatever star players they want to invite. They go over roster. They go over plays. Hey, why'd you call that play last week? Hey, why'd you cut this guy? Why'd you sign this guy? What can we look forward to tomorrow? 4 hours. Man, I'd be bored as hell. Bored as hell. But this is what's going on. And I bring this up to highlight. This is the life John Gruden has been living for the last 10 years. Production meetings, in and out of practices and facilities, talking with coaches, talking with general managers. Now, if that equates to wins or losses, who knows? But if you think he's out of touch, you're wrong. And this move of Khalil Mack shows me how much he's really dialed in. Let's remember this point and see the trajectory of the Raiders versus the Bears. Let's see. Who knows? Might work for all parties involved. But salute to Khalil Mack. Let us see them boys get their bread. Salute to Aaron Donald. He held out. He bet on himself. He got paid. Cashed out. You listening to WBH Radio. It's your boy William Holly, man. Happy to be with you folks. Hope everybody had a safe Labor Day. My man Fenton was out there somewhere winding his waist, I'm sure, jumping up like he never been to a party before. But, hope everybody was safe, man. Now, let's get down to the get down. Colin Kaepernick is the face of the new Nike ad. Let's see. Colin Kaepernick, the face of the new Nike ad. Before I weigh in, I wanted to get something straight. I've seen it reported that, yo, Colin Kaepernick signed with a new deal with Nike. I want to go back to a tweet that Darren Revell had. He's the business reporter for ESPN. And he said, Nike had been paying Colin Kaepernick all along, right? Waiting for the right moment. That moment is now. He become the face of the company's 30th anniversary of the Just Do It campaign. So Darren Revell is telling you, yo, this is not a new deal. He's been with Nike. In fact, now that I think of it, I don't even need Darren Revell's report. Because I remember when Adidas was talking about signing Kaepernick if he got on with an NFL team, Nike kind of sheepishly came out, almost like embarrassed, like they released a press release. Excuse me, guys. Yeah, he's still with Nike. So let's get that straight before we get into it. It's not a new deal. Now, what do I think of this? I think this is a business move. Nothing more, nothing less. Right? This move doesn't signify they love you any more than they did yesterday. This move is about somebody coming into the Nike boardroom with bar graphs and pie charts and analysis and forecasts and say, listen, man, it might be good business to align ourselves with this kid. It might be good business to get in with this kid while his stock is low. Yo, in 2016, we buried Muhammad Ali. It was amazing to sit back and watch people line the streets just to get a glimpse of his hearse. Some people even running the streets just wanting to get a touch. He was acknowledged by actors, entertainers, athletes, dignitaries throughout this world, sending their condolences and respect to Muhammad Ali. I thought, man, that was amazing. But if you rewind to when he spoke out against the war, and he said, I ain't going to war. Ain't no Viet Cong ever called me a nigger. And they stripped him of his heavyweight title of the world. They stripped him of his endorsements. He was down on his luck. He was relying on Joe Frazier to shoot him a couple dollars. He was the most vilified man in the country. If you go back to that point, nobody could ever foresee the day when he will be celebrated by the world. So if you were able to align yourself or get in on the Ali stock when it was at its lowest, when they wouldn't let him fight, when he had no money, if you would have gotten to the stock at that point, aligned yourself with him at that point, and kind of went on the rise with him to becoming a world icon, one could surmise that was probably be a lucrative ordeal, right? In a day where we got Ali posters, pictures, mugs, t-shirts, I think that's what Nike's trying to do with Kaepernick. Yo, if we weather the storm with this kid today, the payoff could be great tomorrow. Think of the Jackie Robinson. Jackie Robinson broke the color line in Major League Baseball. All was right with the world, right? Nope. When Robinson retired, he couldn't get a job in baseball. They wouldn't let him be a first base coach, a manager, a general manager, nothing. Fast forward to today, where the number 42 is retired throughout the sport because of Jackie Robinson. Nobody would have saw that coming back in the day. The number is retired throughout the sport. A man who couldn't even get a job after he's retired, after his illustrious career, now you can't even wear his number? In fact, there's a day in Major League Baseball where everybody wears the number 42. Everybody, black, white, everybody. Yo, who threw the pitch? 42. Who struck out? 42. Who caught the ball? 42. So for Jackie Robinson to go from somebody who was getting spat on and couldn't even get in the game to now his numbers retired throughout the sport. And I see them handing awards and all type of stuff to his beautiful wife. Nobody could have saw that coming. But hey, if you think about it, had you aligned yourself, had you gotten on that Jackie Robinson stock on the low, it'd probably be pretty lucrative today, right? So I think that is Nike being shrewd businessmen, right? We never thought Nike was stupid. Oh, no. Somebody went into Phil Knight's ear. Somebody went into CEO Mark Parker's ear and said, yo, the demographics are shifting, right? If we weather the storm with this kid, Colin Kaepernick, it might pay off for us in the long run, right? Because when Ali was stripped, nobody saw this dude would have his own museum in Louisville. When Billie Jean King was outed as a lesbian tennis player, nobody would think her name would don the tennis courts out there in Queens, New York. This is business, my friends. It's not because they love you any more than they did yesterday. It's not because they support the movement any more than they did when Colin Kaepernick was on his shelf for 2 years. And if you're paying attention, last week, the NFL moved to have Colin Kaepernick's case dismissed. His collusion case dismissed. Have it dismissed. The NFL went to the judge and said, Your Honor, man, this is bogus. This is a farce. Can you please dismiss this case? Your Honor said, I will not dismiss this case. In fact, we're going to move forward to trial. Let's get the proceedings proceeding. So hold on, if Colin Kaepernick turns the NFL on its ear, he becomes legendary. If he's not already. I just gave you a whole slew of history that the sentiments around issues like this always seem to shift. And when they do shift, when we're dancing in the street and we're celebrating Colin Kaepernick having a good old time, Nike wants to do it with a nice little swoosh on our t-shirt. So my people, my friends, I ask you to proceed with caution. It's just business. Like my man TC used to say on the Wayans Brothers, business. It ain't love. Just understand that. And that's nothing wrong. I don't condemn Nike. That's what they in the business of. I'm just talking to my people. Proceed with caution. I don't want you to get your feelings hurt. We should stop looking for validation from people anyway. I see people online. Yo, Nike's woke. They with us. No. They in it for the bread. And they're entitled. I'm not mad at them. Understand what it is. Yo, shout out to Colin Kaepernick, though. Salute to that brother, man. He fought the good fight. He paid his dues. He deserves to be celebrated right now. Get your coins. It came out that they're supposed to be doing a signature line of gear for him and stuff. We'll see. But just understand what it is. All right. Oh, WBH Radio, your boy William Holly. About to get out of here, man. A few more things I wanted to run through. Jemele Hill recently negotiated a buyout with ESPN for $6 million. Man, that's big money over there. That's big money. Now, I'm not a fan of Jemele Hill. I don't think she's good at all. You know, when I tune in the TV, I'm especially for my commentators of color, I'm looking to be challenged. When I watch Stephen A. Smith, when I listen to Dan Le Batard, they give me a perspective I've never thought of. They make me look in the mirror. The same with Charles Barkley. The same with what my man Joe Budden is doing in hip-hop right now. Jemele Hill, she's never done that. Like, almost all the time, I could always anticipate what she's about to say. Or I could look at a situation, or I know how Jemele feels. Black people been wrong, white people, the devil. But that's neither here nor there. It doesn't matter what she's good or not. I'm happy she's out of ESPN. Because how long are you going to align yourself with somebody that's trying to stifle your voice? You can't fight the good fight from the inside. You can't fight the fight while you sipping their water cooler and enjoying their air conditioner. Nah, if you really with the get down, you got to do it on the steps of Congress. You got to fight from the outside, challenging dudes, holding people accountable. You sitting there helping to line the pockets of these corporations that support the people you're speaking out against. So I'm interested to see her put on her dancing shoes. Now that she don't have the ESPN's backing, let's see what you can get done. You know, you got the following. You got the fan base. I remember when Colin Cowherd was beefing with Dan Patrick. Dan Patrick said to Cowherd, yo, you talk slick when you got those ESPN muscles behind you. So I'm interested to see what she going to do. You know, this should be an exciting time. You got the freedom. Nobody's stifling you. You could say whatever you want on your Twitter account. You could condemn Donald Trump all you want. I was always frustrated by people that were inside the corporate machine speaking out against it. Nah, man. That's who pays your bills. You helping align their pockets. The battle is fought in the streets. So we'll see. NFL football kicking off this weekend. One person who will not be participating is Dez Bryant. Now, we spoke about Dez a few times. He's still not on the roster. Now, he tweeted the other day, I just have to take care of me first. I will play ball this year, might be a little later in the season. Did somebody tell Dez he's not in control? He's at the mercy of these 30 owners or whatever the number is. Well, in fact, it's the 30 owners minus two because we don't think the Cowboys assign him and the Ravens offered him a contract. He turned it down. Right? Dez sounds out of touch. You ain't running the show, son. Right? But I have no problem with Dez because great athletes, they're supposed to believe they can fly. My attention now turns to Roc Nation Sports. Roc Nation, spearheaded by the one and only Jay-Z, my favorite rapper, you all know and joke on me about it. I'm interested to see how Roc Nation handles this. Y'all on the clock right now. Because Dez Bryant is a talent, right? He should be playing, should be still able to earn a check. Right, Roc Nation? So get it done. And even if you don't get it done and he doesn't play another down in the NFL, I won't hold that against you too much because even you, Roc Nation, no matter how great an agent you are, you're at the mercy of these owners. And we know they're not playing fair. But what I will hold you accountable for is Dez Bryant's quality of life if he never plays another football down. Because I remember specifically when Jay-Z got in his business, he said, man, I'm tired of seeing our athletes strip naked. They make all these money and they have nothing when they walk away from the field. Jay-Z said, these athletes can't do anything for me. I could do more for them than they can do for me. I'm a Grammy-winning rapper. I got mine. I'm in the business to help them acquire theirs, not only on the field, but away from the field. Now, it's been reported many a time that Dez Bryant's life is in disarray away from the field. Chaotic family life. Roc Nation, this is why you guys got in the business, right? To make sure our athletes, make sure guys like Dez Bryant can still stand up strong when his career is over. So you on the clock, man. I'm interested to see how you guys handle this. Yo, has anybody watched Hard Knocks this season? The show on HBO that follows an NFL team. This year it's been the Cleveland Browns. Yo, listen, first off, HBO might be the greatest network ever. like, for real. Whatever you want, whatever your desires, your likes, they got something for you. If you into the gangster stuff, they got Tony Soprano, they got The Wire. You into Dungeons and Dragons, they got Game of Thrones. They do investigative journalism with HBO Sports. And this Hard Knocks stuff is just, it's unbelievable. You end up rooting for the 60th guy on the roster who's about to get cut. Like, HBO just does a great job. And I don't know if the Cleveland Browns are that good or just it's HBO, but I'm interested to see them play. And one of the big stories was the arrival of Josh Gordon, their star wide receiver who has had some issues with suspensions and drugs. And as I see him interact with the media, it makes me sad. Because he's been sent away for alcohol and marijuana. I think that's it. And it makes me sad that he has to stand up there and be all apologetic and grovel to the public and the media because of some alcohol and some marijuana. In a country where we got marijuana millionaires, where you go to a stadium, every song you hear is about drug use, right? Everybody else gets to partake and enjoy, but Josh Gordon has to sit up there and be all humble and apologetic. That makes me sad. It just highlights how little these guys are in control. Right? Josh Gordon should be in line for these big contracts along with Odell Beckham and Julio Jones. But because of these suspensions and issues, he hasn't. He's fighting for his livelihood. And nobody's there to help him. Right? Where is the NFL Players Association? Let me ask you. Why does the NFL even test for recreational drugs? Why? Josh Gordon never missed practice. He didn't miss a game. He didn't have a problem. He just failed these little drug tests. Why is it even being tested? You know where they don't test? Major League Baseball. Strongest union in sports. So, yeah, it breaks my heart when former Major League Baseball players come out, like John Kruk, he used to be on ESPN, and they talk about the Phillies team. Yo, we used to show up intoxicated, a night of binging. Man, I was playing. You could smell the alcohol come, and everybody likes it. Yeah, those guys are cool, man. They're rebels. And they get to carry on with their life. Meanwhile, Josh Gordon is fighting for his life. He's one of the greatest wide receivers in the league. He done made $6 million, I think. That's not even including suspensions. And it's sad. And it makes me angry because the NFL Players Association should be helping him. You guys are the weakest. You get beat constantly. I'm putting that on the players and the association. You don't see anybody in the MLB getting busted for marijuana, alcohol. That should be, take that test off the table. As long as the boy's showing up for work, leave him. We look at him like he's a zoo animal because he done, man, half this country is on something. The NFL Players Association, right? You got to fight for something, man. You got to stand up. You got to judge your success not based on the top 10%. Those guys don't need you. Your job is for people on the fence, people teetering on the edge like Josh Gordon, right? If you're a teacher, if you're an educator, you don't take credit for the student that was going to be an A student no matter which class or which teacher they had. Your real work is judged based off that kid that's on the edge. He might come to school some days. He might not. That's where you judge your worth. And it breaks my heart that Josh Gordon got to stand up there and just, yeah, guys, I'm sorry. You know, I'm trying. Man, bump that, bro. NFL players, so just step up, man. Protect each other. That's why y'all get beat in everything. That's all I got, man. I'm looking forward to the NFL season. Your boy, William Holly. Thanks for listening to WBH Radio. We out.